What do you got?
Coach, what's up? Very simply, why do you think that Sam has been so effective limiting interceptions since week 11?
I think what you're looking at is, I don't know if it was just like, hey, week 11 happened, you know, let's draw a line in the sand. All of a sudden we're changing a bunch of stuff. I think you're looking at the product of, you know, evolution over the course of this season of just kind of sticking to our process and not panicking when things didn't necessarily go our way and doubling down on how we want to play football. But Sam's been decisive the whole way, and he's done a great job really in the last whole season, you know, but definitely this last month or so in this final stretch.
Drake May has been a leader in the playoffs for both passing and rushing statistically. What's the biggest element as far as making him uncomfortable?
You have to play great football. They're a really good offense. They're really complimentary. You know, if you don't force them to, they'll run it every snap. You know, so you got to be able to control the game and put it on our terms. And then the thing that makes Drake, you know, so dangerous in addition to a lot of other quarterbacks in our league is, in addition to the arm talent, the processing, and the movement. You know, he's got a playmaking ability late in plays. So we got to be relentless in how we play. And we talk about 12-1 with our rush. But sorry. But that threw me off. But he likes to escape up the middle, so we got to build a wall. Everybody work together and play relentlessly.
Hey, Coach. In week 16 in that Thursday night game against the Rams to win overtime, you elected to play defense first, and that worked out. In this postseason tournament, we've seen two ball-first teams win. Has that changed you and your staff's thinking at all in the least bit?
You know, we have our philosophy on how we want to handle overtime. There's some variables that change from game to game, and so we kind of leave that breathing room for us on how we want to go into game and what we're going to elect to do, and it could change in game on what we want to do for overtime.
Mike, what is it about Sam's mental makeup that he's able, whether early in his career or even in games when he might be struggling, that he's able to withstand that adversity and bounce back and finish strong, keep fighting?
Yeah, Sam's just been so resilient. I mean, I feel like I'm giving you guys terrible answers because I'm giving you the same answer every time, but that's really what it is. It's just he's so steadfast in his approach. I think he's confident in who he is. I think he understands that how much his team believes in him and has his back. So just keep firing away, man. You know, keep being you. Go to the next play. He's the same guy after he has a perfect passer rating and he's not strutting around like he just, you know, solved all the world's problems compared to a game where maybe, you know, we didn't execute as well as we did. So that's what you appreciate about him.
Mike, right here in front of you.
Thanks.
People talk a lot about culture and NFL teams. What is the tone that you try to set in your building and how do you see – players latch on to that and reflect that?
We use the term like, hey, this is how we roll, and we say we want to be loose and focused. So everything kind of falls out, you know, from that kind of feeling that you want to have in our building. And a lot of that has come from the spirit of our team and our organization from throughout the whole history of the Seahawks, especially from when Pete was there, and that's something that Jody and John felt strongly about they want to carry over into you know, our team. And I think that's really cool. You know, our spirit is kind of unique to us, and you know, it's evolved and changed since we took over, but it's still, you know, rooted in the foundation of the Seahawks that a lot of people are familiar with. So it's something we're really proud of.
Mike, right here. When you were at Michigan, you referenced the Teddy Roosevelt famous line, speak softly and carry a big stick with your players. Did you use that at all here in Seattle? And whether you did or not, do you feel like this team embodies the spirit of that quote, and why or why not?
Well, I haven't used that with our team here, but I mean, that's a quote, obviously, that resonates with me. And obviously not the most outspoken guy of all time, but, you know, you want your team's tape to really do the talking, and I think our guys have done a great job of that. We've been really poised in these games, and our guys, like, you know, they talk some smack every once in a while, as they should, and keeps it fun. You know, like, I think the thing that I'm like proud of is if you just, I mean, I just left our defensive team meeting, or even our team meeting, You know, it's not like this where I'm just like lecturing on a thing and you guys are just listening. I mean, it's interactive. There's music playing. It's a lot of great energy, a lot of positivity. You know, guys are talking crap and we're making it's just, but it's loose and focused to, you know, to the question earlier. But then when it's time to work, there's a standard that we want to uphold, and there's different ways to kind of get that done on a daily basis. Sometimes it manifests itself a little bit differently, but I think if you watch our tape, I think that's pretty consistent with what President Roosevelt said.
Congrats, Coach. Last time out, Seahawks-Patriots in the Super Bowl, it was a heartbreaking loss for the organization. Although there's no currently active rostered players that played in that previous Super Bowl matchup, do you think there's still kind of a mentality around the team, around the training facility, to kind of avenge that game for the sake of the organization?
No. We haven't talked about it once. And it's not with – it's not due to a lack of respect for our teams and our history and what we've done in the past, but we're really focused on this game. Like, you know, it's funny, it's like a meme now, but when we say it's about us, it really is, you know, you got to back that up with your actions, and that's how we live it every day. And right now we're focused on how well we can go get ready to go play this game.
Coach, in front of you here on your left, one more on Sam. We've heard you and a lot of the teammates say this season, he's got some stuff about him, stuff being the word there.
Yeah.
You know, how much, when you got a guy like that, especially at that position, how much can the rest of the team really rally behind that? And we've certainly seen that kind of manifest itself, but how much can that really help your team rally behind this guy?
Well, I think that just means that he's a real guy. He's got real emotions. He's got a real competitive spirit. There's things that piss him off, you know, especially if things don't really go his way. You know, we've had some great competitive battles in practice over training camp. As I'm listening to your question, those are the things I'm thinking about. And frankly, that's probably when he plays some of his best football. So he's just real, you know. It's just that's who he is. If he was a loud, outspoken guy, that's who he was, and our guys would rally about him. But I think the most important thing is he's just who he is every day.
Hi, Mike. When you were considering signing DeMarcus Lawrence last year, what do you remember about the context that Adden was able to provide having worked with him, and how have you seen that bear out, particularly with the way he's able to defend against the run?
It was a no-brainer. I mean, just from AD being with us the whole season, understanding how we operated, what type of people we want in our building, and really our play style, we really felt like that could help take our defense to the next level, and, man, it's paid incredible dividends, and I feel like DeMarcus would tell you this, but I feel like we're getting his best version of himself and the best version of his game as well. So it's been a win-win.
Hello, Ines Sainz from TV Azteca. You make the best game plan for the playoffs. Now, what is the biggest challenge to make the game plan against the Patriots?
I think the biggest challenge is we have too much time. You know, yesterday was a dark day, just kind of going in and out of rabbit holes and. But I think the important part is like how well we can streamline it for our guys, make sure we're always in our wheelhouse about what we execute, what we do well, and when you have extra time, that's hard because you know we're trying to find solutions and trying to find answers for our guys. But sometimes you just gotta shut up and let the guys go play.
Coach, right here, Bucho Rocelli for La Perrada. The last five games you've played, you've had four divisional matchups, and you've played two teams twice in the last five games. Do you think it's a bigger challenge for you to get back to planning for a team that you haven't played all season after weeks where the game plan has been so focused on teams you know so much?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. You're right. I mean, when you're playing teams multiple times, you're going off of a lot of your decision-making is off how the last game went and how you anticipate the team reacting and kind of what you feel like your next move should be. Also, the teams that you're familiar with, personnel-wise, things like that. So. The way we treated this game was just, hey, let's just go back to square one, treat it like we would any other week, like we would throughout the season, and go put our best foot forward. Now, having the extra week does help, you know, not being as familiar with the Patriots as some of the other teams we just played.
Hey, Coach, over here on your left. So you talk about process all year, and this has got to be a challenge to the typical process you have. So now that you're in it, how have you been able to stick to that process? And any notes you've already started to have for yourself for maybe the next time you get back here?
What I told our team, and look, it's funny, you know, you're not looking at the guy that's been to the Super Bowl like six times, you know, it's just, this is all of our kind of first time going through this experience. And I think that's been an edge for us throughout the whole season is every time we've gone into a new experience together, We have principles that we want to abide by, and those are kind of like our guiding lights in terms of how we want to operate and how we want to make our decisions. But we also know that we're kind of going through it together, and we're not afraid to pivot and use different methods and things like that. So I think this is an example of that where, you know, the principle of the matter is, you know, we do want to be, you know, adhere to our process the best we can. Like today is kind of as much of a normal Wednesday as we possibly can make it, but with also the understanding of there are some things that are going to be different, and you got to be able to be flexible and pliable and be able to work through those things. And at some point you're going to get distracted, and that's okay. And look, it's about how relentless can we be coming back to center, back in, you know, be in this moment. And up to this point, I've really loved how our team has operated.
Coach, what has impressed you most about what Mike Vrabel's been able to do with the Patriots here in his first season? And do you see any commonality between, you know, how he approaches, particularly his connection with players and the individuality of those connections to get the most out of guys?
I'm not very familiar with his like coaching style in his building. I can tell you this, you can't help but respect the work that they've done and the team that they've created. I think the best compliment I can give is it's very clear that this is the vision of how he wants his football team. And I think I can say that with pretty high confidence. And they're a tough team. You can tell they're connected, which probably speaks to his coaching style. So, you know, we have a lot of respect for how they operate for Coach Vrabel. He's done a tremendous job.
Hey, Mike, speaking of culture and intent, how have you seen your leadership shown up in the lead up to game week?
Well, it's, you know, we've guys from different experiences. So, you know, the Cooper Cups, the Ernest Jones of the world have been here. You know, they've given their perspective on how we want to approach the week. They've been great. You got guys like Leo that, you know, necessarily haven't. And they're giving their fresh perspective as well. But I think, again, it's the same thing. Like, look, our young guys are probably looking to us on how we're going to handle, you know, our emotions and handling, you know, media stuff, things like that. And we take it in stride. We're loose and focused and, you know, kind of enjoy the moment. But then, you know, let's get back to work when we need to.
Yeah, Mike, obviously had great success with your four-man rush on the defensive line this year. How important is what AD does up there and working with that and kind of the stunts and things like that he helps devise?
Well, AD, you know, he definitely leads the charge with our front. Justin Hines, Chris Partridge are very much a huge part of that equation as well. I think that what our coaches do a tremendous job of is getting the buy-in of the guys that we want to play a certain way and then just injecting a massive amount of belief to make their best traits come to life. And it's a great environment that they've created. The guys have, you know, they're kind of an embodiment of the loose and focus where they're, you know, they're messing around. You know, the defensive line rooms are an interesting place, you know, in the NFL, and we got a great room. They're a lot of fun to be around, but they definitely get after it, and they sharpen the rest of the team as well. I mean, I think you've seen that from our young offensive linemen as well.
Mike, to your left, how's Sam progressing with the injury, and what's your sense of how much he'll be able to do in practice compared to recent weeks?
Well, we'll see today. We'll see today. It's definitely gradually increasing by the day. So some days more than others, but he's in a great spot. I know he's really confident. We'll see how today plays out. Not entirely sure how many throws or what percentage of throws I can't really give you right now.
Standing on the right. Mike, over here on the wall. Far right. There you go. Now that you're finally back to the football on the Wednesday, how much is this going to be a normal Wednesday, a normal Thursday, or did you even adjust within that? Are you going to have your third downs going to be on the same day, all that, or is it, what's different?
Right, yeah, it'll be consistent. Like at this point, we're in a normal cadence. A couple of different variables in terms of, you know, media time, traveling to a different location, guys are going to lift after practice. Outside of that, it's about as same as you'd like. So I think it's a pretty cool setup at this point.
How much are you looking forward to that?
Oh, we're in it right now. This is great. I'm loving this. This is awesome.
All right, Coach. Coach, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. After how well Matthew Stafford played in the last two games, and you guys obviously ended up winning, does that guy give you guys any more confidence or even relief going into another MVP caliber quarterback?
Well, I think what's one of the special parts about our football team is, and our players, is that we've been able to win different ways and figure things out as games go. So That should give us a lot of confidence going into really any type of matchup. I think it's really that simple.
Coach, on your right here, there was a moment in during the NFC Championship game in the wake of the Reek Woolen taunting penalty where it seemed like Nick Imanwari was the voice of reason on the sideline. Like, he's made an immediate impact on the field as a rookie. How impressed have you been with his maturity off the field, and how important is it for you to create a culture where young players like that can come in and be a leader straight away?
Well, Nick's done a tremendous job since he walked in the door. Shoot, since we brought him in for a visit, you know, pre-draft. I think what's great about Nick is, in addition, I mean, we all know is you can see the physical talent, physical ability, but his eagerness to learn and the sense of urgency, for detail and his hunger to like be great, really stands out. Not a lot of guys that are that talented really are interested in doing the amount of work that it actually takes for those traits to come to life, and Nick does that. And I think it's not like some secret thing that he said to the vets, but that daily approach and mentality that he's had, I think, has earned the respect of his teammates. And you got to give the veterans a ton of credit too, that they've created an environment where he can grow and be himself and have moments like that in a game where if he feels strongly about something, that he feels empowered that he can say something and guys will have their back. And I just think that's been really, it's a tip of the cap to him and the rest of the DBs in the room.
Hey, Mike, to your left here. At this point in the season, what's the tempo or intensity you want to see in practice here the next few days?
It's a Wednesday for us, so we haven't been in pads in 2 weeks. We're going to be in pads for the beginning of practice. It's going to be great. We won't be in pads the whole time, and then we'll see how the tempo shakes out. But you're definitely cutting a few reps here and there, but I think it's important for today and tomorrow to have great practices.
Mike over here. How did Josh Jobe go from getting his foot in the door in a practice squad to being a starter on a Super Bowl team?
It's a great example of the pride that we take and how we run our program. Where when you come in, if you play great football and you're a great teammate, you're going to get an opportunity to play. And Josh was someone that we acquired at the beginning of last year. Shout out to our personnel staff for IDing those type of traits and that type of personality. And the guy just came in and made a ton of plays on our ready squad. And I remember our veteran receivers saying, hey, like, this guy's pretty dang good. He kept making plays. And then when there was an opportunity for him to get on the field, we felt really confident for him to go out there and do his job. And he just kept hitting it. Those daily inputs, man, it's powerful when you stack those things. So here he is. He should be really proud of himself.
Okay, a couple more.
Coach in the back to your right. When you're flipping coverages pre to post snap, which seems to be an ever-evolving trend in the NFL these days, how do you do it where you confuse the quarterback but you don't confuse your own defenders, especially against a guy like Drake May, who's been really good against disguises this season?
Well, Drake has done a tremendous job. I think if you're saying – if we're planning on going in there and fooling him every snap, I think you'd be kidding yourself. Our guys have a great grasp of what we're trying to achieve on every play. And the good news is we know what we're doing before they snap it. So we have that advantage. But there's weaknesses and strengths to every coverage. There's reasons why we're calling coverages in certain situations. And I think when you kind of marry those things together and you stack all those reps over the course of the season, the guys have a great grasp of what they're trying to do. And it's part of our philosophy is like, look, when we call a certain coverage, the rules are going to be the same from, April 15th to February, whatever it is. And that way you can stack all those reps over the course of time and get really good.
Last question.
Being with Michael Dixon for 2 years now, have you gained a greater appreciation for how a punter can, impact and influence a game?
Well, I think Michael's as good as they get right now in the world. I was also very fortunate to be around a guy named Sam Cook in Baltimore, who's a tremendous putter in his own right. And Sam really opened my eyes to like what a punter could do in terms of manipulating the football and directing it and the different types of kicks. I mean, he was tremendous, and Michael does. He's just right there with Sam, and he's got a great spirit about him. Like, it's just he's just a really cool guy, man. He's just like, he's got a great, like, he's like, he's a competitor, but it's the Australian, twist to it, and great teammate. Guys love him, and I think you saw from this past game, he's really passionate about helping putting his teammates in position to succeed as well. Okay, thank you.